Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
Have you noticed that times are changing? Well, believe it or not, the Bible has a lot to say about changing times. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we have an all-new series entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to discover what the Bible has to say about what's happening in our world today. Stay with us. When it comes to predicting the future, the Bible is 100% accurate. Friend, let that sink in for a moment. 100% accurate. It's never been wrong. It never will be wrong because it's the Word of God. And when it comes to today's headlines and the economic and political unfoldings of our day, the Bible is 100% accurate as to the meaning and the direction of these events. It's amazing that God, thousands of years ago, gave us an unfolding description of what's happening before our very eyes on the world scene. Times are changing. That's the topic of this series. It's an all-new series preached recently at Lancaster Baptist Church with Dr. Paul Chappell. Pastor Chappell is the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And this program comes to you every Monday through Friday on this station. And we look forward to this series, Times Are Changing. If you'd like to subscribe to the daily podcast, you can take Daily in the Word with you and listen to it on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. All of this and much more when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today's message is entitled Christ Coming at Armageddon. We hear talk of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ, but today let's find out what God has to say about it. Revelation 19 is our text.
We studied the horrific events of the tribulation period, and we learned that the 70th week of Daniel, that seven-year period before the second coming, would be a time of terrible judgment on planet Earth. This morning, we are coming to the very end now of that seven-year period, and we are going to study the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you may have sensed throughout this series, I truly believe that the world is preparing now for the events known as the rapture or the catching away of the believers, and then ultimately the second coming of Jesus Christ. Even as I placed my hand on my daughter's stomach a few days ago and felt the kicking of a little child within her, even as her body was preparing to bring forth this child into the world, so the world is now preparing for the coming forth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all these signs that we have learned about in Scripture, and all of the events that are changing both religiously, globally, politically, and economically are bringing us to a point in which we learn from the Scriptures this morning is called the second coming of Jesus Christ. We learned of it first in Acts chapter 1 as the angel spoke to the disciples. In your notes in verse number 10, you'll see the Bible speaks to us, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. When Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven, his disciples gathered round, and they saw in awe the miracle of the ascension. As they saw the Lord Jesus ascending to heaven, The angel came and said, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner also," in the same physical, literal way that Jesus ascended. The Bible says he will come again the second time to this earth. Perhaps the chart we have used in the past will bring us to a point of perspective. We are living now in the church age, anticipating the catching away of the believers, sometimes known as the rapture. That will lead us into the time of tribulation, studied last week, and then the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. While Bible scholars may have some ways of interpreting and different ways of interpreting the time of the rapture, the events of the tribulation, there is no Christian alive who believes the Bible who questions today the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to planet Earth. And so this morning, we know that scholars have counted more than 1,845 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ in the Bible. 318 of those are found in the New Testament alone. We know that the prophets foretold the coming of the Lord Jesus as well as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In your notes in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it to the south." When I stood on the Mount of Olives back in June, I could not help but remember this passage of Scripture and think of the fact that Jesus Christ will literally return to the earth as he said he would. He will come back once again. Well, not only did the prophets foretell it, not only do we learn throughout the Old Testament of his second coming, but Jesus himself told of his second coming. Notice in your notes there in Matthew 24, 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Well, by way of introduction, the Scriptures are replete with promises of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to delve into some of the details surrounding that great day when Jesus will come in fiery judgment and establish his kingdom on this earth. Notice, if you will, in your outline today, the appearance of Christ. How will he appear at the time of his second coming? The Bible speaks of this in verse 11 of Revelation 19. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Now notice the description of Christ's appearance. We see a description here. The Bible says, "And I saw," speaking of John the Revelator, giving to us the revelation that God was allowing him to see. He says, "And I saw heaven opened." This was mentioned previously in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 14. "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Verse 17 of that chapter said, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" And so the view before us is the view of God Almighty rolling back heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ being seen from earth by the multitudes who have gathered against him. He appears in the heavens. Notice secondly, he appears as the faithful and true one. The Bible says, "And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." Now I want you to take note this morning of the fact that Jesus Christ is faithful God. He is faithful and true. His word is faithful. The execution of his plan is faithful. When he came the first time, the Bible says, in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. In the fullness of time, that indicates for us that God has a divine timetable, and that Jesus came the first time exactly on God's timetable, and he will come the second time exactly on God's timetable. There are no accidents with God. He is working according to his timetable, and he will come according to his faithfulness. He is faithful, and he is true. The Bible says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. And so he appears as the faithful and true one. Thirdly, he appears with his eyes as a flame of fire. Notice that, if you would, in verse number 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Now, we read this back in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. The Bible says his eyes were as a flame of fire. These eyes literally discern and know and speak of the omniscience of God. And he will know his children, and he will know his own, and he will know who has taken the mark of the beast, and he will know who has rejected it, and he will come in righteous judgment, his eyes as a flame of fire. Notice, if you will, fourthly, he appears with many crowns, the Bible says in verse 12. Now, in Revelation 6, when the Antichrist established himself as the world leader, he established himself with a crown. But here the Bible says, this one coming in the second coming, this one, the Lord Jesus Christ, will have many crowns. The word is interesting, diadema. It speaks of his kingly crowning. And the plural crowns indicate that he is the King of all kings and the Lord of lords. He is supremely royal over all kings and over all kingdoms. And the Bible speaks of this in many passages. In Psalm 8 in verse 5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. My friend, when Jesus Christ comes at the second coming, there will be no doubt about his identity. As he comes, the clouds are open. Here is the faithful and true one. His eyes are as a flame of fire, the Bible describes it, and upon his head are many crowns. No doubt by this time, those believers judged at the judgment seat of Christ and found faithful to the Lord will have had opportunity to lay their crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether those crowns are in view or not, I do not know. But I do know this, that he does not have merely a crown, but has many crowns, for he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Queen Victoria had worshipped one day at St. George's Chapel in Windsor Castle. It's a beautiful chapel, a stained glass, beautiful architecture of a Gothic style. And she had sat in that beautiful chapel and had heard the message of the day given by Dean Farrar. As she heard the message, she went to the preacher after his message and said, "Oh, how I wish I could be alive during the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." She had heard the message on the second advent or the second coming. Mr. Farrar said to the Queen, "Why does your majesty feel this very earnest desire?" With her countenance deeply illuminated and with great emotion, the Queen said, "Because I should love to lay my crown at his feet." Now, my friend, it doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what you've accomplished. If you're a child of God, you will delight at the sight of Jesus Christ in laying down your accolades, accomplishments, and crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so we see he appears with many crowns. Notice, fifthly, he appears with a revealed name. The Bible says in verse number 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, my friend, if there's any further question about the identity of this one coming down at the end of the book of the Revelation, coming down over the valley of Megiddo, coming down with his eyes a flame of fire, his head filled with crowns, if there's any question about this one whose vesture is dipped in blood, then the question should be answered here by his very name, which is the Word of God. John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. My friend, Jesus Christ is the eternal Word of God. And when he comes down from heaven and the scroll is wrote black and his eyes aflame with fire look down upon this rebellious planet who has cursed him and has rejected him, yea, have taken the mark of his arch enemy. May I remind you, my friend, there will be no question of his identity. This will be the Son of God, the eternal Lord Jesus Christ. He is the timeless Son of God, for he is eternal in his nature. He is the triune Son of God, for he is equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he is the triumphant Son of God, for though his name has been cursed, though his name has been denied, on this day he will triumph over all of those who have mocked him for so many decades. The Bible says his vesture will be dipped in blood, dyed in blood, signifying the fact that while he came the first time as a little baby in Bethlehem's manger, while he came in peace, while he came as a teacher and a healer, while he came the first time to bring peace, the Bible says he was rejected of his own. My friend, the second time he comes, he is not coming as a baby in Bethlehem's manger. He is coming with his vesture dipped in blood to bring judgment on those who have denied him for so long. And so the description of Christ's appearance is ominous. It is awesome. And it ought to awake to our senses and to our imagination the holiness of our God. But notice, secondly, the declaration of the Son. Not only do we see him as he is described in the scriptures, and by the way, Hollywood can't hold a candle to the Bible. We see him high and holy and awesome in the scriptures. But now we see a declaration made, verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Now I want you to sense the declaration that is made by Jesus at the second coming. First, the declaration is made by the presence of the armies. You know, there has been a thought by many of our leaders in the past that by a show of strength, a declaration is made. That by the presence of a strong military, there is a deterrent that is in place so that our enemies would know of our power and think twice in the matter of going to war. Well, there is a similar statement made on this day by Jesus Christ and by the armies of Christ. And notice again in verse 14, it says, the armies which were in heaven followed him. This shows us a position behind the Lord Jesus Christ. I agree with Lehman Strauss, who said, it is quite possible that they include the Old Testament saints, the church, and the saints of the tribulation. Literally then, with the Lord Jesus, are the redeemed of all ages who are coming with him at this second coming. We read this in Zechariah 14 as well, and in verse number 5. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azazel. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Now notice these saints as they come. The Bible records for us they are coming in a position behind the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible records for us that they are coming in purity. And I want you to see this. This is important. It says in verse 14, they are clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, this is a specific reference to the church, to the bride of Christ. And the Bible says that the armies of Christ are clothed in white linen. Now, my friend, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were declared righteous. God declared you righteous, not because you are righteous, but because Jesus is righteous, and you have been cleansed by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus saved you, he placed royal robes of righteousness around you. And the Bible says that when we come with the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be robed in white robes, white and clean. You ought to stop right now and thank God that he saved you by the shedding of his blood, that he has robed you in righteous robes, and that you are forgiven, and that you are on the winning side, and that you'll not be on this earth facing the judgment of Armageddon, but you'll be coming with the Lord Jesus Christ robed in righteousness. You see, when you prayed, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart," you didn't realize everything Jesus was going to do for you after that prayer. Oh, what a blessing to know. Revelation 19 and verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And I say to you again, that righteousness is imputed by the Lord Jesus Christ to everyone who believes on the name of the Lord Jesus. The picture of the bride is seen in Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says that the church will be presented to God as a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle, all because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yesterday we had a beautiful wedding here in this auditorium. And I'll tell you what, I stood right here and Jonathan was as nervous a groom as I've ever had a wedding for, by the way. Jonathan's a Marine. He looked sharp yesterday. We were in the back hallway. He was saying, now, Pastor, when I go in there, tell me again how to stand. Tell me, do I face this way or that way? And finally I said, Jonathan, now you're a Marine. Just do what I tell you and we're going to be just fine, all right? And he did. Boy, it went great. He did great. And so I was standing here and Jonathan was standing about right here. And all attention was on the back door. And suddenly the back door opened and Lucinda stepped out in a beautiful white gown. That white gown is a symbol of purity. And she came down and her father brought her to this point. And then the groom went and met her and brought her up to the platform. And I want you to get it in your mind today. God the Father's in heaven today waiting for you and waiting for me. And you and I are the bride of Christ clothed in white linen of righteousness. And Jesus as the groom is ready. And we as the bride are going to be coming. And my friend, we're going to come with him at the day of the second coming. And you see the statement that is made and the declaration that is made by the presence of the armies. But notice, secondly, it is made by the word of Christ. It is made by the word of Christ. Look, if you would, in verse number 15 now of our text. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now we see in verse number 15, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Those of you who have studied the scriptures know in Ephesians chapter 6 that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Now get this in your mind, at the battle of Armageddon, God's weaponry will not be nuclear in nature. It will not be bombs. It will be the very word of God. I'm speaking about the same word that said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm speaking about the same word from which I preached this morning. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when Jesus Christ comes at the second coming, he will speak his words, and his words will bring great and fiery judgment upon those who have mocked his name. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You see, Jesus says concerning the Antichrist that I am going to destroy him at the brightness of his coming. He will be utterly destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus will smite the nations with the word of his mouth. But not only does he declare his word, but Jesus Christ will declare his position. Notice this in verse 16. It says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, and he's been teaching and preaching in a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're discovering how accurate Bible prophecy is when looking at today's news headlines, and we're understanding what God has to say about the unfolding of the end of the age. If you'd like to hear this message in its entirety or any of the recent broadcasts, if you'd like to get this entire series, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Online, you can listen to recent broadcasts. You can also subscribe to the Daily Podcast and download Daily in the Word to your own computer or iPod and take it with you and listen or re-listen to these messages at your own convenience. Would you consider referring a friend to dailyintheword.org? You probably know somebody that doesn't live in an area where this program is broadcast. They might benefit from the Bible teaching and preaching. And when you direct them to dailyintheword.org, they can listen to the program and download it to go. And hopefully the teaching of God's Word will encourage and edify those you love. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener, knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book, Done, is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.